It is Monday, July the 22nd, 2013. I am Steve Groeck, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, Groeck.net, your source on the World Wide Web since 1997 for all your pro wrestling news. And today you have a very special guest with me, somebody I've been following her career for quite a while. She's debuted in 2007. You may have seen her in Shimmer. You may have seen her in Jersey All-Pro, WSU. Maybe even on Shine. She's gotten around, and she's a very popular women's star. And today I'm very happy to welcome Sassy Stephanie to the line today. How you doing, Sassy?
Good. That's a lot of accolades that I have. I mean, I don't really look at it that way, but like when you list everything, it's kind of crazy.
You've gotten around, and you've gotten a lot of fans and had a lot of great matches and a lot of great feuds. So how's everything going for you on the wrestling side right now?
Well, it's been kind of quiet. The summer has been, you know, slower than usual, but that's okay because I have a lot of other things going on in life. But I'm very excited because next week I debut for NSPW up in Quebec City, Quebec, Canada. So I'm really excited about that.
International, another international date.
Yes, I'm getting quite a few of those.
So you're building up an international following. Not only are you popular in the Midwest, but now you're branching out, and I know you've wrestled in Montreal and expanding your horizons internationally.
Yeah, I did a couple of dates in England a couple of years ago, too, that were phenomenal. I wrestled Sweet Soraya a couple of times while I was over there. And, you know, England, everybody's like, when are you coming back? And I'm like, I don't know, when time allows. The sign's kind of not an easy thing to have nowadays.
Right. How do you like working internationally? Obviously, you mainly wrestle in the United States, and you know, in the Midwest and on the East Coast and then down in Florida. But how does it feel kind of branch out and go into international dates and different fans and the different culture that that brings?
I love it. I think it's great, especially when I went to England a couple of years ago. I was pretty much at a plateau. I was wrestling the same people over and over and over and over and over again, and this is probably a year after I started at Shimmer, so I wasn't on the main roster yet. I was still on Sparkle. So I really needed to branch out, I thought, and start to learn a new style of wrestling and learn new people, get out there. And like I said, that was before Soraya had even come to the U.S., so when they announced at Shimmer that she was coming to Shimmer, I was like, oh, that's amazing. I love her. It would be, you know, good to know her before she came in. And, you know, we have a pretty outstanding friendship since then, since I went to England. And when she comes over, it's awesome. So, and then being at Shimmer now, you know, a lot of international stars come there. So I think that helped as well.
Obviously, you've been wrestling since 2007. So that's a lot of matches under your boots, I would say. And how you doing physically after all the bruises, the bumps, the Band-Aids? How holding up physically?
I'm doing pretty well. I can't complain. I've only had one major injury. That was when I separated my shoulder, and it was a match at a carnival. So it was very awkward because they had like this little, I don't like golf cart looking thing that, you know, took me off to the hospital tent, and then I had to go from there to the ambulance to go to the hospital to get my shoulder checked out. Luckily, you know, for me, that's been my worst injury. You know, I've had mostly bruises. I don't think I've really ever been cut open. I'm, you know, maybe some mat burn or something, but nothing too crazy.
Can you talk a little bit about your background getting into wrestling? Because everything I've always heard about you is that you kind of maybe backwards your way into wrestling, that you kind of start out as a ring announcer, and then people kind of encourage you, say, hey, how come you're not into training? How come you're not going to become a professional wrestler? And so maybe you kind of went the backwards route of getting into wrestling versus some people who, you know, want to get into wrestling and then maybe they go to ring announcing or whatever the other avenues would be. But you kind of went the opposite way.
Yeah, exactly. It was weird. The whole story, because I kind of condense it for, you know, internet purposes, like, you know, kind of to tell people how I got into it. But the whole story is I was a DJ at a bowling alley, and I was going to a local promotion that I ran every week here in my local area in Akron. And I became friends with one of the commentators. So I did an 80s night at the bowling alley that I work at, and he came out to hang out because he really liked, you know, 80s music. So we all had a good time. A couple other can work a microphone because I saw you a couple of weeks ago when you DJed. Would you mind just filling in for tonight? And I said, okay, sure, no problem. You know, I already knew all the guys for the most part, and, you know, I had become friends with some of them. So I did it that night, and then the next week they asked me to do it again, and the next week they asked me to do it again, and it started a trend. And then as that continued, that was on Tuesday nights. So my weekends are still free, so I'm still going to independent wrestling shows, which I've been doing since I've been 13. And all these other places started contacting me, like, oh, you're a women's ring announcer. Can we use you? Can, you know, we do this, this, this? Can you do this date? Can you do this date? And I was like, okay. And, you know, this is a time that Lillian Garcia was, you know, that was her big claim to fame, was her, you know, ring announcing, and she was doing so much of Raw's ring announcing. So I was like, sure, that'd be great. I'd love to do all these dates. And as I was on one of the shows, I believe down in Athens, Ohio, one of the wrestlers asked me, you know, I've seen you everywhere doing ring announcing. You obviously know the sport and love the sport. Why don't you wrestle? And it was an epiphany. I was like, wow, I never even thought of it, really. Like, I just enjoy the sport. And I still, to this day, like, you know, a lot of people be like, oh, I don't really watch the product on TV. I love the product on TV. I love indie wrestling. I love TV wrestling, whatever. It's great. I love it. I'm totally immersed into it. And you won't hear a lot of people actually tell you that, but I am, you know, I love it. And so I found a school, I started going to a couple of different indie shows that I knew had women's wrestling and knew had schools. And I found a school that I liked because I went and saw, at the time, their names were Lexi Lane versus Chantel Taylor, which, of course, most people will more recognize as Madison Rayne and Taylor Wilde from TNA. I saw them wrestling. I knew that Madison trained at this specific school. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to try out here, see what happens. Ended up loving it and just started training. And, you know, I worked a lot with her because we were the only two girls at training. Even though I did work with the guys too, which I think is very important because, you know, the higher, bigger bumps that I can take, I take because I had to work with guys, you know, so... And it was all downhill from there. I love it still to this day. I mean, there's some days I wake up and I'm like, why do I do this? But most days I'm like, I love it so much.
I was going to ask you about Madison Rayne. Obviously, you were talking about her as Lexi Lane. And then, of course, I believe she was Ashley Lane in Shimmer. And, of course, she was a tag team partner in Nevaeh. And I just wondered how she got hooked up with Nevaeh and maybe not you, because you guys were kind of training together. How did she get to tag with her?
Well, Nevaeh has been around a lot longer, not a lot longer than I have, a couple more years than I have. And Ashley and Nevaeh had strong feud before I came along. In fact, I would go with Madison two shows prior to, you know, me being ready to train. And I would watch her versus Nevaeh constantly. So when I came into the, you know, picture as an actual wrestler, I took over that feud with her, and Nevaeh kind of, you know, found other feuds, or I don't know what she did at the time. We weren't really that close then either, because I had only met her once or twice at this point in time. But, so Madison and, you know, Nevaeh, because they had wrestled each other so many times, actually became really good friends, and I don't know who had the idea for the tag team, but it ended up working out really well. They complemented each other very well in the ring, and they took off as a tag team, and I thought it was great. I mean, they're really the first women babyface tag team in the independents that I can remember that had such a big... I mean, it's so hard to find a good women's babyface tag team for some reason. Nobody really sticks together that long.
True. And how did you... Once Madison Rayne got to TNA, and obviously Taylor Wilde also as well, how does it feel to kind of see, you know, people that you train with, people you work with, you know, people that you came up in the business with, all of a sudden they're on television? How did it feel to, you know, kind of see those, I guess, friends of yours on the big stage?
Well, with Madison, I mean, pretty much everybody knew it was just a matter of time. she had it in her blood, you know. She's gorgeous. She constantly worked out. She was constantly working towards it. So we all knew eventually she was going to land somewhere great. It was just a matter of where she was going to land. And, you know, we were all so proud of her, and especially my trainer. I mean, I've never seen him talk so highly of anybody from the school before that. I was like, oh, you know, everybody's great. And then, but it was like Madison. He was like, yeah, Madison's in my PP, all right. Like, you know, he kind of felt like he kind of made it at that time because he had somebody come up from him and, you know, make it onto TV, which was great. And, you know, we all thought that, you know, she deserved exactly, you know, what she was doing, and because she worked her butt off for it. So it was great to see her up there.
I'm going to throw in some Twitter questions as well. Obviously, we've got some questions through our Twitter page as well, and we'll mix in with some of my questions. But somebody wanted to know your favorite feud. Obviously, you had matches with Madison Rayne and Brittany Savage. Is there kind of a favorite opponent looking back at your career so far in the ring?
Oh, man, there's so many. Oh, man. You know, it was a very, very short feud when I was over in England, but Soraya really taught me a lot. So she's probably, like, very far up there as far as one of my feuds went, because the story we told in the two matches that we had was amazing, and I wish I would have had more time to wrestle her over there and expand on that, because, wow, I mean, like I said, she taught me a lot, and the story that we were telling was just, oh, man, it was brutal, because she's babyface over there, and I was heel, and that is their sweet Soraya. You do not mess with her. So they hated my guts, and it was probably the most hated I've ever been in my wrestling career, and I try to get people to hate me really, you know, all the time, and it just doesn't work the way it worked over there, and I think it was just the combination of her just being so loved. You know, obviously Madison would definitely be up there as well, because her and I, we wrestled so many times. I mean, pretty much my first year, it was her and I everywhere, and I had a lot of fun. I learned a lot of things from her because she was a year or two more experienced than I was, so you know, if I had any questions, I would call her up and be like, can you give me, you know, some tips or anything? My feud with Brittany Savage, that was 2 years long. That was crazy. But it was fun. We beat the hell out of each other. But, you know, I definitely think that I stepped up my game. I think Brittany stepped up her game both during that 2 year time frame.
Jackson from Twitter also wants to know if you've had any opportunities thus far. Obviously, I know you had a couple chances with Ring of Honor, and you had some matches with them as well. Have you ever had any opportunities thus far with either WWE or TNA? I guess what he's asking you is if you had any maybe communication with them, have them take a look at you, tryouts, or I guess essentially, have you ever sent them a tape, are they kind of aware of you thus far?
No, I personally haven't sent them anything. Obviously, TNA probably knows who I am for, you know, when I first came in, and Madison sent in her tape. I'm sure it probably had one or two of me on there, and I have a lot of friends down there, so I'm sure that they know who I am. WWE, same thing. I haven't sent them anything, but I'm pretty sure that some people know who I am down there, because I have a couple of friends that, you know, do wrestle, especially NXT. I have a lot of friends down there, and it's great to see all of them, you know, living out their dreams. But unfortunately, you know, I have other things in life that prevent me from, you know, going straight forward into WWE or TNA. I would love to. Don't get me wrong. I would love to.
Yeah, if WWE would call tomorrow, obviously, that what they'd like to do is they take their talent and they put them in the developmental system and they teach them their style. Would that be something that would interest you at this point? Obviously, what's going on with your life and what you're doing with wrestling and on your personal side, is if WWE calls tomorrow with a developmental deal, is that something that would interest you at this point?
I think so, definitely. Like I said, I haven't actively went after that, but I think if WWE did call, that would be something that I would definitely have to, you know, weigh my options with, because I think it would be amazing to be down there and to be a part of that system. Even, like I mentioned, I have a lot of friends down there, so it would be great just to go down and see some of them and be able to wrestle with them again. But, yeah, I mean, WWE and TNA still, you know, dreams of mine, but like I said, you know, with life previously, it hasn't allowed me to dedicate my life directly to that. And I love the independent wrestling. Like, I really, really do. So there's a lot of people that don't, but I love it. So, but yeah, I think if they came and knocked in, I'd definitely take the opportunity and probably move myself down to Florida.
That's awesome. Now, I was curious about you, because I remember seeing, like, pictures of you, say, from 2007, 2008. I was on the Glory Wrestling websites, you know, the all-women sites back in the day. You had kind of dark hair, mm-hmm. and I just wondered how the transition was to red hair. What was the idea behind it? Was that your idea, or how did that come to be?
Yeah, it was my idea. I wanted to do something different. When I was right out of high school, because my mom, when I was in high school, would not let me dye my hair different colors at least not my senior year, because I had to have senior pictures done. She wanted them with my natural hair color. So pretty much I went through my rebel stage as far as hair colors went right after that. Like, I had bright red hair then, and then I dyed it black, and I was putting, like, pinks and purples and blue highlights in it all the time and, you know, just doing stuff crazy. And so black kind of stuck after a while. Like, I got a job where I had to have, you know, like, a natural color, so I just stuck with the black. And then when I no longer worked at that place, I was like, hey, you know what? I haven't had red for a while. Let me do that. So, you know, because my hair was black, it took me, you know, a couple of times dyeing it to get it the color that I wanted. But now it's back to the flaming red. And, you know, I think it really matches my personality in the ring. You know, it's kind of fiery, kind of angry, and, you know, red's the color of that, so.
I like it. I personally think it's a good transition for you. And I wondered, how'd you come up with the Kiss My Sass finisher?
Well, that kind of goes back to when I was a little kid. Sassy comes from my initials. My full name, my initials are SAS. So as a kid, whenever I'd get an attitude with my mom, she would always say to me, oh, well, I gave you the perfect name because all you give me is sass, blah, blah, blah. So Sassy has been a nickname of mine since I was a little kid. And so it just stuck, and it was perfect for wrestling. And there was nobody else out there that I knew of at the time named Sassy, no one that I know of now either by the name of Sassy. So I was like, all right, and I'll add my name to it. Perfect, good times. And I knew whatever my finisher was going to be, I knew I wanted to be called Kiss My Sass, because I thought it's a great play on words. You know, 95% of the time I'm a heel, it's very good to, like, it just works. So I was struggling because, for the most part, besides working with Madison when I first started, a lot of the people that I wrestled in the area were bigger than me, like Jessica Havoc. And I didn't have a finisher. So I asked one of my friends, Ernie Balls, if he could help me, because he was always coming up with insane ideas for finishers. And I was like, can you kind of come up with something? And he knew a finisher from CK3, which is a guy from Michigan. And he was like, you know what? CK has this finisher. I think, you know, it'll work out perfect for you. So he showed it to me, and I modified it a little bit. Because every time I see CK and we're on a show together, I'm always like, hey, I'm going to use your CK3 tonight. And he's like, go for it. So it's kind of like a joke now. But, you know, I modified it a little bit so it was, you know, better fitted to me. And, you know, it was easier for me to grasp onto, because the actual version of the move is a lot more difficult than what I do. But I wanted something a little bit quicker that I could slide out of, hook it on, and just go with it. And something that I could do to bigger people like Jessica Havoc. And that's how Kiss My Sass came to be.
I think that's one of the best finishing names for finishers in the business.
Yeah, because it's like I kind of want to experiment and do like some other, you know, finishers too. Like, you know, have a couple of different things that I can use. But I'm like, what would I name them? I'm like, because I can't really top that. So whenever somebody asks, I'm like, can you do something else? I'm like, sure, I don't have a name for it, but I'll do it.
Now, you were mentioning previously, we were answering a different question, that you started watching independent shows, say, age 13, and you were talking about your mom didn't want you to dye your hair. And I just wondered, kind of growing up, were your family big wrestling fans? How you kind of became a big wrestling fan, and what's their opinion of you now as a professional wrestler in the ring? Do they like it? Do they come watch you wrestle? I just wondered what their overall viewpoint is on their little daughter in the wrestling business.
Well, when I was a kid, my mom, she loved wrestling, but it was more my dad and my grandpa. They both kind of watched it, and my mom had this story and used to embarrass the hell out of me. She would tell this story all the time to anybody who would listen, especially when she comes to shows. My grandpa would be watching wrestling in the living room, and a commercial would come on, and I'd run into the bathroom, you know, do my business, and then I'd come waddling back in with my pants around my ankles because I wanted to get back so I didn't miss anything. And then I was like, oh, my gosh, that's so embarrassing. Like, why would you tell people that? Like, oh, my goodness. But now, you know, it doesn't bother me as much. But so I started watching it as a little kid, and I think I just watched it because at that time my mom and my grandma were pretty much the only women in my life. I mean, I had my grandma too, but that I saw constantly were, you know, pretty much my mom. And I had a brother, my dad, and stuff like that. So they were always watching wrestling. So I just kind of tried to hang out with the boys. And I lived in a neighborhood that had mostly little boys as kids too. So I was wrestling around with them to get them to come play Barbies with me. So I just kind of, you know, liked it because it was, you know, a way to bond. But then I saw Sensational Sherry, and I was like, oh, my God, there's a woman that does this, and she's amazing. Look at her attitude. I love her. And I've loved her ever since. And that's what really hooked me with seeing Sensational Sherry and, you know, her go on with Shawn Michaels and Macho Man, and then, you know, later in life with, you know, Harlem Heat and stuff like that. I loved her. Everything she did, she could do no wrong to me. And so it was actually very sad because, I started my first match was in March of 2007, and she passed away in June of 2007, and I never got to meet her, but all these people tell me all these great stories about her, and, you know, it's just, you know, breathtaking to me. And there was a while, I don't know, you probably could find old pictures of it, but I had a black thing that I wore around my arm that said SM on it for, you know, Sherry Martel, for probably a good 6 months after she passed, because I took it pretty hard. But, you know, I am estranged from my dad. I haven't talked to him in many years. But so I don't know how he feels. I don't really care. But my mom, before she passed away, she would come all the time to my shows. And so would my grandma. She would come to shows that were nearby. And my cousin, it's funny, he's a very quiet individual, which is very different from the rest of my family because they're mostly like me, very loud. But I brought my cousin to a show, and I'm a heel, you know, at this particular show. And my cousin's sitting out there, and he's with my grandma and my mom, and I come out, and, you know, everybody's booing me, and my cousin's like, don't boo her, that's my cousin! So, you know, they were all very supportive. They've all been very supportive ever since, you know. First, it was kind of a shock, like, oh, Stephanie's doing this. And then after about a year, when I was still doing it, they're like, oh, okay, well, let's go see what exactly she does, because I don't think they really realized exactly what all entailed it. But my mom, I mean, she came out, I mean, she went all the way up to WSU in New Jersey to see me. She'd gone to a show in New York, and all over Ohio and Pennsylvania she would go. You know, whenever she had, you know, the weekend to go, she would definitely go and hang out. Actually, she would leave before me and go do, like if it were Pittsburgh, she would leave, like, the night before, and she'd go and, like, hang out in Pittsburgh all day, and then, you know, I'd meet her down there at the show, get some lunch, and then go to the show, so she was very supportive, and most of my family has been.
That's awesome. As well, talk about your background. In high school, were you athletic? Did you play sports or cheerlead or anything in that direction?
Yeah. When I was a kid, like I said, I was surrounded by boys for the most part. I was the only girl on baseball teams for several years. And then once I got into elementary school and I got around a little bit more girls, I found cheerleading, and I did cheerleading from elementary school all the way up to my senior year. I tore my ACL, so unfortunately I only got to do football season. I didn't get to do basketball season too, but yeah, I was a cheerleader. I did gymnastics. I'm trying to think, in high school I did a lot of stuff. I was student council. I was very into my school, you know, extracurricular activities and stuff like that. There's all sorts of things that I was always getting into. I've always been a little good girl. I think that's why I make such a good heel.
Now, we got a question from Brittany. I don't think it's Brittany Savage, but they want to know how the promotions differ. How do the promotions differ between Shimmer, WSU, Shine, some of the other promotions you've worked with? I would think, you know, obviously some have gone more mainstream. Shimmer has always had a very strong in-ring product, you know, DVD market. Obviously, Shine is now on pay-per-view. I guess just in general, how do the promotions differ, the promoters and the actual promotions themselves?
Yeah, I get asked this question, you know, quite a bit, and I always say it's kind of like comparing apples, oranges, and bananas. They're all fruit, but they have a lot of other different things going on. They're not the same taste of women's wrestling. Like you said, you know, Shimmer is more of the in-ring product and, you know, going out there and actually showing women's athletics, which is amazing. You know, it was the first thing to come across that way, too. You know, it's not story. I mean, there's storylines, of course, but it's more based on the mat wrestling, which I think is phenomenal. And then you have Shine down in Florida that is also mat-based, but it is also very storyline-heavy, which I think is also great. Then you have WSU, which is more, you know, Women's Superstars Uncensored, which is more of the, you know, gimmick matches, a little bit more rough around the edges, not just mat-based and storytelling. It's a little bit of both of those, plus it's a little bit of hardcore thrown in there. I mean, you know, I was in the first ever all-women's War Games match, which, you know, was completely unheard of. We had Melina on that show. She had been released from WWE just a couple months prior to that, and she watched it, and she came up to all the girls in the match and was like, WWE would never let us do anything like that as divas, and that was amazing what you girls went out there and did. And I was like, wow, that's quite a compliment coming from somebody who has made it to WWE. And, you know, you hear a lot of people say a lot of things about her, but she is so incredibly sweet and nice, and she had nothing but great things to say about that. So, I mean, like I said, it's kind of like comparing, you know, all these different fruits to each other. Yeah, they're all fruit. They're all the same thing as far as women's wrestling is, but they each give you a different taste of what women's wrestling can bring to the table.
I wondered about Shine. Obviously, Shine's kind of the newest promotion to dive into the internet pay-per-view market. We've seen Ring of Honor have trouble, you know, producing internet pay-per-views, but so far they've produced, 10 or 11 pay-per-views now on internet. I just wondered, you know, how are they doing? How's that business? I know you don't handle the books and you don't handle the finances, but I just wonder, just in general, how Shine is doing. Is it clicking? Is it catching on? Is this kind of a new trend we're going to see now with more wrestling promotions going to the internet pay-per-view market?
Well, I definitely think that trend is happening. You know, Shimmer did their first ever iPay-per-view for WrestleMania weekend when we were in New Jersey. You know, that was the first ever for that. That was crazy. WSU has done quite a few, and, you know, they continue to do some. And AIW, which is mostly a men's federation up here in Cleveland, but they do the girls' night out, once or twice a year, and they've dived into the iPay-per-view on both their men's shows and their women's shows. And, yeah, I definitely think that that's the trend. And, you know, I don't know how the finances work on that end of things, but, I mean, Shine seems to be doing extremely well. I mean, if they weren't, they would have taken that away right away. You know, maybe try it 2 or 3 shows. If it doesn't work, okay, well, then we'll get rid of it and, you know, try something else. But, I mean, every single one of their shows has been an iPay-per-view. Every show that I've been a part of has ran very smoothly from top to bottom. You know, everybody knows, you know, this is where you need to stand. This is where you need to be when you come out from the curtain. Stand there 5 seconds so we can put your nameplate up on the iPay-per-view so everybody knows who you are in case they, you know, haven't seen you before. You know, this, that, and the other. So it's very, very well ran. And, you know, I mean, they must be doing something right because they keep doing it over and over again. So, and from what I've seen from people on Twitter, like when I've been down there, people, you know, say the feed looks good. And I went to radio and TV broadcasting, so when I get done wrestling, I try to, you know, sneak away up there and watch the guys up there. And they use a system called Stream Breeze, which I am not, used to. When I've done streaming to the internet, it's always been with the TriCaster. But the StreamBreeze, it's smaller, looks good, and you know, it seems like the stream is just flawless on it. I've never heard really anyone complain about the Shine iPay-per-view. So I think everything's going great for them, and you know, I look forward to going back down and working with them more.
Now, I'm sure you get asked this question a lot too, but I'm always curious because we've seen different products with wrestling, women's wrestling. Obviously, they're, as you were talking about, Shine is more athletic in the ring, you know, wrestling style, and there's other promotions doing the gimmick matches, and then of course, you know, in the Attitude Era, we saw a lot of TNA, and not talking about Impact Wrestling, you know, the bra and panty matches and things of that nature. What do you think in general? I know obviously you've wrestled in front of different fans and different audiences. What do you think the average wrestling fan really wants from women's wrestling? Do they want women's athletic ability in the ring? Do they want really pretty girls? Do they want a combination of both? Or what do you think is the ultimate package would be? Or what do you think the average wrestling fan really wants from women's wrestling?
You know, I think that depends on which product they're watching. I mean, if they're watching Shimmer, you know that they're more into the mat-based wrestling. I mean, all the girls are beautiful as well, but, you know, it's more into, you know, the mat-style wrestling. If you're, you know, watching maybe WWE or TNA, maybe you're watching more for, you know, the beautiful looks that the girls have, you know. Because, I mean, every girl there is, you know, drop-dead gorgeous. I mean, obviously, even WWE spinned off into the Total Divas TV show, which I'm actually curious about because I wonder how much that's going to impact, no pun intended with the impact, women's wrestling in general too, because is that going to swing in another way? Because I think in the last 6-7 years since I started, there's been a major swing in wrestling that it is more mat-based, you know, especially with Shimmer being the first big women's promotion coming out and you know, having that readily available for everybody, then instead of, like, what the attitude was, I think, beforehand, was a little bit more of the, you know, like the TNA that you were talking about, you know, the, you know, we're tuning in for the curves that the ladies have instead of, you know, the actual abilities, and, you know, even for a while, TNA had, you know, Hamada and Taylor Wilde and Madison and many other people there that were phenomenal wrestlers. And it was amazing. You know, they had Cheerleader and Melissa as Alyssa Flash. You know, now they still have great talents, but they're also, like, unbelievably beautiful, too. Not that those women weren't, but, you know. So I think it's being swung, you know, back to where people want that mat-based wrestling. I mean, you're even seeing, though, more gimmick wrestling matches like TNA. I've been just blown away by Gail Kim and Taryn Terrell. Their matches, holy cow, like what amazing matches they've been having. That last knockout standing and that ladder match, I mean, wow. I mean, those are two girls like completely throwing their body down on the line. So I think that, you know, everybody wants to see a little something different, but if a storyline like a Taryn Terrell and Gail Kim calls for it, I think that they definitely want to see the matches where, you know, ladders are being involved or last knockout standing or like, you know, Justin, Allison and I being in War Games. And, you know, I had countless, you know, Uncensored Rules matches with Brittany Savage. I think, you know, there's something for everybody, but I definitely think that if a storyline tells itself to lead to that, people definitely, maybe if they're mat-based wrestling or if they're just liking, you know, looking at the girls, maybe when they do get to that point, they're like, wow, that was really good. Oh, now they're going to do a ladder match. Holy cow. I think it definitely, everybody gets a little something that they like there.
Yeah, I got to give props to Terrell and Gail Kim on that ladder match. I agree. I thought that was a great ladder match. It was great to see them, you know, give the women some time on television because we're so conditioned now to see a women's match be, you know, 3 or 4 minutes long and then they go to the next segment and it's kind of a filler to a certain degree. But I remember a time, really not too long ago, with TNA where the Knockouts division was one of the most popular segments on their show. You know, I think back when they had the Beautiful People were going and they had Gail feuding with Kong. Those were some great matches and great feuds. And then they kind of got away from that. I remember, you know, Dutch Mantel was, you know, working behind the scenes with the girls and they were doing a really, really solid job. And then they kind of got away from it. And I know you said that you're, you know, a big fan of the products today. I just wondered, you know, you saw that phase where the women's were very popular, the quarter hours were very strong for the women, and they kind of got away from it. How do you kind of, you know, you saw that happen, that transition away kind of from women, and now as you say, they're kind of going maybe a little bit more in that direction again, you know, featuring the women's matches. I don't think they would have done this match, say, 6 months ago, you know, give the women a ladder match. So you kind of see with maybe TNA, and, you know, WWE is a totally different animal altogether, but maybe, you know, TNA going more into that athletic women's style of working in the ring, you know, with Gail and with Taryn Terrell. And unfortunately, they lost Tara now, who's one of the better in-ring performers from the women's side. But can you see the TNA product maybe going more into that women-based athletic style?
I really hope so, because I think that is, I mean, obviously, like you said, you know, a year or two ago when, you know, TNA did have those strong, you know, at one point in time, I think for several weeks in a row, they were the highest rated part of the hour, you know, when TNA was on, the Knockouts had the highest rating. You know, obviously, people want that. It's in demand. I mean, if it wasn't in demand, Shimmer, Shine, WSU, Femme Fatale, AIW Girls Night Out, those wouldn't be happening if it wasn't in demand. The iPay-per-views, you know, featuring all the women's matches. I mean, if it wasn't in demand, people wouldn't want it. And I think, you know, TNA had, like, that great Knockouts division a couple, you know, maybe a year or two ago. And I don't know what happened. Some of those girls are not there anymore. So, you know, they're kind of trying to figure their way out. And I have no idea right now. I hope that they continue with this trend where they're, you know, have these excellent matches. But I think they have like four Knockouts, don't they? Like now getting rid of Tara, they have Brooke, Taryn, Gail, and Mickey, right? Those are the only four.
Right. Because they got rid of Taylor Hendricks, who won the gut check.
Yeah, and Madison obviously has her own personal things going on right now, and it's crazy to me. Like, I'm like, you guys are having great matches, but yet you're getting rid of all these girls, and you know, especially Tara. Like, when I heard that, I was like, what is wrong with this world right now? Tara, like, anybody that has her under contract is just unbelievable. I mean, she's a great veteran. I've met her. She's unbelievably sweet. I mean, there's very few people that I haven't met that haven't been, you know, at least decent, nice people. But especially coming from WWE or TNA, usually they're very gracious and understand, you know, who they are and what they are to people in the business. But anyway, you know, she's great, and she's a great leader. Like, I was on a show and I asked her some questions one time. She wasn't wrestling. She was just there kind of, I think she was doing commentary actually. And, you know, I asked her some questions about how, you know, in this match, you know, should I do this? And is this transition weird here or whatever? And, you know, she, you know, gave me some great insight. And, you know, I think it's a huge loss to TNA's locker room that she's no longer there. I mean, Gail Kim still is there, who is another incredible veteran, same with Mickey James, and you have Taryn Terrell, who's pretty much the new girl in the, you know, into the business. I'm sure she's learning just so much from them. And then Brooke, you know, Tessmacher, who she's been around for a couple of years now, and I mean, she's also, you know, going to have to pick up that veteran spot and kind of help her out as well. But I just don't see how you can have a real roster with only four girls. But then again, I guess if you only have one match a week, I guess it's really not that difficult.
I guess they have ODB. I guess she's the women's referee again.
Yeah.
And they have
Velvet Sky. Oh,
thank you. Yes.
I can't believe I forgot about her. I had a wonderful match with her probably a year ago now. It was amazing. She was. I walked into it because I had met her just, you know, high bye kind of thing. And I was walking into it like, I don't know how this is going to be. Like, I don't know if she's going to be receptive to my ideas. And she was amazing. You know, I don't think she gets the credit that is properly due to her from the amount of talent that she actually has.
We got a question from Twitter. Obviously, you have a lot of matches on DVD. Different promotions put out DVD of some of your matches. Can you recommend a couple that, you know, fans want to check out? Maybe they're not really familiar with you and say, here's some of my better work. There are a couple DVDs like you'd like to highlight.
Definitely. I can't think of what number it is on Shimmer, but my match with Madison Eagles, one of my favorites. Anything that I did with Shine, I don't know what it is about Shine and Shimmer that brings out the absolute best in me, but for some reason, when I wrestle those two places, I just feel like I have, like, amazing matches. My match with Mia Yim was spectacular down at Shine, and that was Shine 2. My match with Heidi Lovelace was also very good down there. Oh, my goodness. WSU, definitely, you know, one of the matches that probably is going to be, you know, one of the highlights of my career. You know, it's going to definitely be the War Games match that I had with all the girls, and that was amazing. Goodness, it's so hard because I do have a lot of matches to think about. Remix Pro, I just mentioned, you know, my match with Velvet Sky, definitely a favorite of mine as well, because her and I just went toe-to-toe, and it was probably 120 degrees in that building. And her and I just went at it for probably a good 15 minutes. So it was very good. Same there, I wrestled on the same show, I wrestled Sarah Del Rey last year. And then probably a half hour after that, wrestled Haley Hatred. So, yeah, that was quite a night. Like, I walked into that going, really? This is what I'm doing? Okay. And it was actually phenomenal, you know. Haley and Sarah, both two of the top women's wrestlers in the world, and it was great. I had great matches with them. So definitely check out anything I've done with Remix Pro, anything with Shimmer, anything with Shine, and pretty much anything with WSU as well. Because, I mean, I, you know, like I said, these promotions for some reason seem to bring the best out of me.
You know, it's interesting. You're talking about Melina. You know, she'd been in the WWE, and she saw the War Games and said that you could never see that in WWE, and obviously it's amazing. We just saw the ladder match in TNA, but kind of in general, when you were saying you're fans of the products, when you see WWE and especially the women, what comes to mind? Because, you know, we've seen a lot focus on AJ Lee and her character, and we don't really see a lot of the other divas. And I was trying to think of them. You know, we got Caitlyn and Layla, but again, you know, the focal point of their product really is not on the divas. Now, and you're saying this TV show coming up, they got Natalya and the Bella Twins will be on that as well. Just kind of in general, your thoughts on where the divas are portrayed in WWE, and what's your expectations for this television show that we're hearing about, the Total Divas?
Well, that's a loaded question. I think what they're doing with AJ and Caitlyn right now is amazing. I think the back and forth cat and mouse kind of thing between them is really, really good. I think that, you know, they're both, you know, AJ, I know, was previously, you know, she was actually in WSU right before I got there. I didn't get to meet her before, you know, she got her developmental deal and, you know, went to WWE. But I hear, you know, a lot of people say great things about her work previous to what she's been doing in WWE. So knowing that she is, you know, a very experienced wrestler, I think it's a great thing for her. Caitlyn, I'm not sure, you know, where she was prior to WWE. I think she was a fitness model of some sort. But, I mean, she's coming leaps and bounds, too, and this feud, I think, is great. You know, some of the other girls, you know, they've been around for a while, and, you know, they've proven that they can go toe-to-toe with, you know, people like Natalya, who are unbelievable. And, you know, now you have Sarah Del Rey that's down there, you know, with the girls helping to train. Maybe not the actual girls on TV, but down, you know, at NXT and stuff that are, you know, they're just learning from the best. And like I said, I have a lot of friends that are down in NXT, and when they come onto TV, I am going to be so excited for them because they deserve it, and they've been working their tail ends off, you know. So, you know, I think that the product has a chance to be great. It's good right now with what they're doing, but I think they have a chance to be just unbelievable. And I hope that WWE takes advantage of that. You know, whether that happens or not will remain to be seen. But I think that it definitely has a chance to be phenomenal. Especially, you know, I'm thinking back, you know, in the late 90s, maybe early 2000s, when you had, you know, your Trish, your Molly, Holly, your Lita, your Ivory. You know, I think it has a chance to be like that again, where you're getting great, solid women matches, you know. So I think they have the possibility of that, and I hope that that is where they go. But, you know, like I said, that remains to be seen. And as far as the Total Divas show, like, I'm really looking to see what I mean, that's getting into their personal lives. So I don't think that, at least from what I've seen on, you know, the previews that they showed on the TV, I don't think it's going to be more mat-based, you know, or wrestling. I think it's going to be showing more of, like, the traveling, the cattiness between maybe some of the girls and stuff like that, which I don't think will be great for the business. But you know what? It's, you know, getting the girls more TV time. Maybe, you know, one breaks out as a star and, you know, they end up taking off, you know, maybe in a different feud from something that came from there. I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, obviously it hasn't premiered yet, but I'm excited to see the possibilities from it.
Do you consider yourself a student of the game? I would think you probably would be. Are you a fan of, like, certain eras in wrestling? You can go back and watch, like, the 80s WWF, or you can go back and watch the Crockett days and watch that style. I mean, maybe like All Japan Women back in the day when they really had their own promotion with women's style. And do you also go back and kind of watch your own matches and critique yourself, or ask somebody else to watch your match and critique it and try to learn that way?
I do a little bit of all of that, really. Like when I did War Games, I didn't really necessarily watch the WCW War Games, because, you know, we were only going to have the one cage. But I did go back and watch some of the cage matches, you know, some of the great cage matches, to see some of the stuff that they did and stuff like that. So, you know, if I know I have a match coming up and it's a certain type of match, I'll go back and watch some of those. Usually, I just stay focused on, like, a lot of, as far as, like, studying-wise. I like to watch, you know, like, obviously I said I watch the TV product all the time. But I like to watch the people that I'm currently going to be in the ring with a lot. So I'll go back through my DVDs and watch a lot of matches of girls. Somebody I love to watch, and unfortunately I've only got to wrestle in War Games, is Mercedes Martinez. I mean, the woman is just a beast in the ring. And, you know, I would love to get the opportunity to wrestle her in a one-on-one situation, not in a cage, you know. But, yeah, she, you know, I like to watch her. And like I said, I like to watch pretty much anybody I know I'm going to be stepping in the ring with as well. I think that's the best way to learn, because then I know what is coming at me prior to getting in the ring. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, no, what is this? Oh, okay. You know, and then I have, you know, I can think of ways to reverse things and get into other things of mine from watching them and, you know, kind of being two steps ahead, I guess. You know, but sometimes that's hard to do, and a lot of times I'll go to YouTube and try to check out things, and sometimes, you know, there's women that aren't as well-known as a Mercedes Martinez that I would be looking up, and unfortunately I'm not finding, or, like, I'll type in a name, but it's, like, a name that 9,000 people have, so it, like, comes up, because it's just, like, one name. Like, I wrestled a girl a couple weeks ago in Montreal named Missy. Go to YouTube and try to find a match with Missy. There's a lot of Missy's. There's Missy Hyatt, there's Missy Sampson, there's this Missy. It didn't work out very well in my favor. But, yeah, you know, it's, you know, hard to do, but you got to go and especially do your homework, you know. And I definitely love just sitting down on YouTube and watching Sensational Sherry matches. And I love the old school women's wrestling. I love it. You know, today is a lot more athletic. Not that they weren't athletic then, because they definitely were. But it's a lot more athletic now than it was then. And I just love to see, like, the cheap shots and the little things that they used to do to make it even more entertaining and to make people hate you. You know, oh, it was amazing. The facial sherry, fabulous moolah. Oh, man, the matches are just amazing. Especially to look back at that time and see what they were doing compared to what people are doing now. And even I was watching Lipstick and Dynamite a couple months ago, and I actually saw something, you know, that doesn't even have much wrestling on it, you know, just a couple clips here and there. But I found a couple of things that I snuck into my matches now just from watching, you know, the clips from Lipstick and Dynamite. I'm always adding little snooty little things in there all the time from what I'm watching.
Yes, one of the questions we had was, I think I know the answer to it, but you prefer being a babyface or a heel?
I prefer being a heel, but, you know, I can do babyface. I'm not very great at it, but I can handle it. There's certain places that I wrestle that I am babyface, and I don't know how I got to be as loved as I am. I just don't understand it. There's a place in Mansfield, Ohio that I wrestled for that it's just, it's great. It's a great old school crowd, a lot of little kids. And, you know, I've never done anything like above and beyond, you know, as far as a baby face is concerned. But they love me there. It's kind of awesome. Like, I have a picture where, like, I just walked out of the curtain and the person was standing at the corner of the ring, you know, facing me, taking the picture. And all you see are all these, like, probably 50 hands sticking out, like, waiting for me to, like, smack their hand. I'm like, that's the cool picture. Because, like, I don't know why they love me the way they do, but they do. And it's crazy because, you know, just to run down and slap hands, it's awesome. It's a great feeling to have that love. But it's also great to know that you can manipulate people that hate you enough that they boo you and say rotten things to you like you suck or, you know, whatever they want to say. You know, it's great that you can manipulate people sometimes without even saying a word, which is the fun part because then you know you're a really good heel. Like, if you cannot say a word and somebody's like, I hate you, that's awesome. You just manipulated them with looks or motions or some kind of gesture. It's, you know, I try to stick away from flicking people off because obviously most shows are family-friendly shows. But it has happened. But usually it's after my match when people are still, like, just, you know, riding my, you know, tail about whatever. And I'm just like, you know what, shut up. Like, when they really feel like it's affecting them personally, then I'll be like, you know what, take it and shove it. But I think that's great when they do take it personally, too. But when they, you know, step over a line, I'll be like, all right, look, you can just take that and shove it up your, you know, rear or whatever.
I wonder if you could talk about the origins of the Midwest Militia, because as you said, you were talking about a babyface tag team. And just in general, I don't think there's a lot of groups or cliques of women that really catch on. But I think certainly your group did, and it's been well received. Can you talk about how, you know, yourself, Allison, and Jessica got together for the group?
Yeah, definitely. Jessica and I've known Jessica since before I started ring announcing and or wrestling. I've known Jessica probably a good 10 or 11 years now. And we were never really friends at the beginning. I just, you know, me being a fan and watching her, like, you know, I knew who she was kind of thing, but it wasn't really close until I actually started wrestling and got to know Jessica. And, you know, Jessica was actually she was my second match. It was a tag match. It was her and Josie versus me and Lorelei Lee. And, you know, Jessica definitely helped take care of me in that match because we'd become friends then. And, you know, even though we were wrestling, you know, the beginning of my career quite a bit against each other, we were still pretty good friends. Because she only, at that time, lived about 20 minutes away from me, too. So, you know, not that we were hanging out regularly, but, you know, we'd ride the shows together or, you know, we'd be on the local circuit quite a bit. So we had been friends for quite a long time, and Allison came along. She was where Jessica trained. Her promotion was looking for someone new for Jessica to wrestle, brought in Allison. So Allison and Jessica had a big, long feud down there, and they became really, really good friends, too. Well, I hadn't met Allison at that time because, obviously, you know, especially in the independent, you know, you only have room for one women's match unless it's an all-women's show. So I hadn't met her for a while, and then she started going with us to WSU, and, you know, we all drove out together because we lived, you know, Allison lives several hours away, but, you know, we were kind of on the way. So she would drive to us and we would all drive together down to WSU together. So we became, you know, close friends in the car. You know, we were spending, you know, it was an 8-hour drive, you know, with stops and stuff like that. So it would take us, you know, 8 to 9 hours to get there. So, you know, we had a lot of time to bond in the car. And the promoter at that time of WSU, Mick, he was like, you know, you girls travel together all the time, you know, do you guys want to be like a faction? You know, we need a good heel faction and, you know, you guys come out. And there's a lot of truth to what we said in our first promo when we got together because Allison and I were wrestling and Jessica came out and stopped us. And, you know, Jessica and Allison were kind of already aligned at WSU. And I was a babyface at the time. And, you know, Jessica said, you know, Stephanie, you know, these girls, they don't ask us if we want to stay at their house. You know, we drive straight here and we drive straight home. So we're on the road over 24 hours together, and we're all tired. We're all, you know, miserable by the time we get home because, you know, we haven't slept. We haven't ate a good meal. You know, we're eating nasty fast food or, you know, thank God we love Sheetz. And, you know, they had, like, nice sandwiches and made-to-order stuff, so it's not all fried crap. But, you know, so we're tired and grumpy and, you know, none of the girls at WSU were ever like, hey, why don't you stay with us? Or, hey, why don't, you know, a lot of times you would hear them, hey, we're going out to, you know, this restaurant tonight after the show. You guys want to go? We were never asked. We were always, you know, oh, they're just going home. You know, so we were kind of already, you know, in our own little clique anyway in the locker room because, I mean, we got along with everybody else or whatever, but, you know, we were together. That was us. And so, you know, we came up with that, and I went down to visit Jessica at a show because we were going to cut a promo for WSU together. And Allison, I think, happened to be there too. And me and Jess were just sitting out, you know, behind the building, just chit-chatting, and we're trying to come up with a name. And, you know, I was like, well, we're from the Midwest and, you know, blah, 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 blah. I was like, I wonder if we could, you know, come up with a play on words or something. And, you know, who knows who came up with Midwest and militia part. But, you know, Jessica and I just sat there bouncing ideas off of each other. And, you know, we loved it and we pitched it to Mick. And at first he was like, I don't know, you know, I don't really want like a, you know, something that, you know, really says, oh, they're from the Midwest kind of thing. You know, I don't really want like a, you know, to tell where you're from kind of thing. But he was like, but it's catchy. And, you know, we said it to somebody else and they're like, you need to go with that. That works. And so that's what we did. And, you know, Jess, Allison and I, we became even closer. And, you know, now, I mean, Jess is the WSU champion and Allison and I are the tag team champions. And, you know, right now Allison's over in Japan kicking butt and I can't be more proud of her. And Jessica's, you know, doing her thing, you know, everywhere she goes, she's just absolutely dominant. And we all couldn't be happier for one another. I mean, when it really comes down to it, you hear a lot of people, you know, who are like, yeah, I tag with that person, whatever. But no, me, Jess, and Allison are sincere friends. We've actually had, like, you know, somebody, you know, drive with us to a show, like somebody else got booked or whatever, and they're like, oh, just hop in, you know, the Midwest car. So they'll come with us, and we're like, okay, that was fine. But if they were with us on a normal basis, there would be lots of fight going on because, you know, whatever reason, like, we just would get on each other's nerves. But me, Jess, and Allison, we just get along so well, and everything just gels perfectly. And it's one of those rare things where true friendship turned out to be something great into wrestling.
That's a good, it's a very good faction. I'd like to see more factions on the women's side. In fact, really, factions overall, you don't see a lot of factions anymore in wrestling. When, you know, growing up, we would see all the groups and the Bobby Heenan families and the NWOs and the DXs, and now you don't really see a lot of factions anymore, which I think is
I feel that, you know, you mentioned Bobby Heenan, like, you don't have the emphasis on managers the way that you used to.
Right.
A lot of people who maybe come into the business, they aren't trained to be a manager. They're just like, oh, hey, you're my friend, come be my manager today. And that's unfortunate because, you know, I understand everybody's looking for a step into the business, trying to, you know, find their way and, you know, try to become a star. I understand that. I get it. I mean, obviously, that's what I ended up doing, you know. And I managed for a while, too, but I really hadn't. Me being a Sensational Sherry fan and, you know, her being an inspiration to me, I really take that to heart. Like, when I'm a manager, I really want to make sure, like, I'm, you know, the intricate things that I do make sense and that, you know, I don't take away from what's going on in the ring, but I also, you know, I want to make sure that I add to the match. I don't take away from it. And, you know, I have my manager at Shimmer, and then she also manages, me and Femme Fatale and the Midwest Militia at Femme Fatale, you know, Mademoiselle Rochelle. And, you know, I had Lufisto come up to me, who is the one that introduced me to Mademoiselle Rochelle. And she's like, you know, out of everybody that we've ever paired her with, you're the only one that uses her correctly. And I was like, that's quite a compliment, A, coming from Lufisto, yeah. But B, having somebody that is so experienced say that you're using your manager as part of the story, as, you know, she doesn't take away and she adds to the match. You know, it's never, Stephanie, you know, oh, here's this girl that just stands at the ringside. No, she does what she needs to do. And, you know, she gets, you know, a little bit of story in as well. And I had a match at Shimmer, and I loved it. It was great. Thunder Kitty had me in the claw. And, you know, she's a throwback wrestler. And she had me in the head claw. And Mademoiselle jumped up, and Kitty went over and put the claw on her. And then I ran over, you know, once I, you know, got my bearings back and ran over and rolled up Kitty. And as I did, Thunder Kitty headbutted Mademoiselle Rochelle to the floor. And I was like, oh, no, like, you know, it just, you know, there's certain things that if you use a manager correctly and a manager knows how to maybe not necessarily bump or do this or that, but knows, you know, where to be and what to do, there's great things you can do with a manager. And unfortunately, it's just not being utilized nowadays. I mean, honestly, I mean, can you think of a really good quote-unquote manager right now? I mean, even in WWE or TNA besides Zeb Coulter, I mean, that's the only one I can think of that's really doing anything.
Paul Heyman?
Oh, yes, Paul Heyman. That's I'm sorry. That is probably the best one.
That's about it, though, really.
Yeah, and it's very sad, you know, because it's such a, there's such an art to it, and there's Kevin Harvey has a school that's starting up, the School of Everything Else from Wrestling, and I hope, well, I know Kevin, so I know this is going to be a part of it, but managing, I'm sure, is going to be part of that, and he, I'm sure, will give everybody, you know, what they need to know, and, you know, Joey Eastman, even though he is the Shimmer ring announcer, he's a great manager. The things he does and says, and he's so entertaining, but he never takes away from the match. He always adds to it. And, you know, it's just sad that, you know, people don't get really to see that nowadays, because a lot of the times, especially in the indies, it's just a good-looking girl that's just standing there going, yay!
Yep.
So many
people have traced that back to Vince Russo when he would push the valets over the managers. That kind of started in the new trend in wrestling, that people would rather see a pretty girl with somebody than a manager that could get him over or help him, you know, character development. And anybody that's listened to my podcast know I really miss the days of factions and managers and great tag team wrestling. You don't see, you know, they don't keep tag teams together for very long anymore, when almost all the great wrestlers of the day came up, you know, through tag teams. You know, I think Shawn Michaels was the Rockers, and mm-hmm. Bret Hart was the Hart Foundation. And nowadays, it's just, and no disrespect to today's wrestlers, but a lot of them are, it's just, he's The Miz, he's Cody Rhodes, he's Alex Riley, and they don't quite have the same flavor as they once did. And I know you were talking about, you know, you follow the product, which is great, because obviously you want to keep track of what's going on with TNA and WWE, but it's, you know, going back to the managers and the tag teams and the factions, it's just, and people will say, well, that was that era, and today's a different era, which is true, and things change and things evolve. But it seems to me, you know, with Paul Heyman coming back, and you talking about Zeb Coulter, Dutch Mantel, that they could have managers again. There's still some great personalities out there that could do it. And
Yes. It's,
you know, why not try to develop that again? I mean, I think back to the day of Bobby Heenan and Jimmy Hart and Jim Cornette. I mean, they were such great. I mean, you'd want to watch the Crockett shows to see Jim Cornette cut a promo about the Midnight Express and whoever they were feuding with. I mean, now you really don't have that anymore. I mean, Bobby Heenan, all the great one lines that Bobby Heenan could come up with and on the spur of the moment, ad lib in the middle of the ring. But I don't know. Sometimes they say, you know, that's a different era, a different time. But to me, I think they still could have a place for that type of entertainment in today's product.
Yeah, but I understand that. And like you said, I feel the exact same way you do. But I also think like the Bobby Heenan, you know, with the one-liners and all the greats that you have mentioned, you know, mm-hmm. those are kind of people that maybe they weren't necessarily trained that way, like, you know, Jim Cornette and stuff like that. That's just kind of basically their personality. But,
right.
you know, I think that you could find that person. It's kind of one of those diamond in the rough kind of things. You might have to, you know, give them a little polish here or there. But if you work with them, you could have somebody like that. That would be great. That could be a good talking piece for somebody. And I definitely think there's room for it. Don't overdo it, obviously, because you don't want to do that. But, I mean, you know, I don't think you'll ever have anybody again like Bobby Heenan. You know what I mean? It is kind of hard, but I definitely think that you could have the capabilities. I mean, you have Paul Heyman, who is unbelievable on the mic, who, you know, is having these great spars, you know, verbally with CM Punk. And then you have Brock Lesnar come out and just, you know, do the physical aspect of it, which I think is, you know, amazing. And that's what you need. You know, because Brock Lesnar, obviously, we all know that he's not the greatest talker in the world. But you have, you know, Paul Heyman, who is this vile man who is just sparring verbally with CM Punk, who is another person who is great with words. And it just, it adds so much. And then you just have Brock come out as this monster and, like, demolish CM Punk. I mean, I'm sure, you know, that all, you know, go down, whatever. But, you know, at least recently, that's what's been happening. And it's just like, oh, it's great. It's great to see that, and I love it, because, you know, I mean, obviously, Paul Heyman, he knows the business inside and out, whether you like him or not, you know, that's, you know, up to you, but as far as what he's doing right now in the ring, I think it's phenomenal.
I think, you know, Ric Flair could be a manager. I think Dusty Rhodes could be a manager. I mean, Dusty Rhodes could manage his own kids.
True.
I think of Michael Hayes, Michael P.S. Hayes, who's, you know, works behind the scenes as a writer, but you know, he was managing the Hardy Boys at one time. Why can't they bring him back? I mean, he was one of the great promo guys of the Freebirds. I mean, their guys are still out there. And I agree, you know, Bobby Heenan, the one I mentioned, you know, Bobby Heenan and Jim Cornette. I mean, those are two of the best managers of all time. And like you said, those are just personalities.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were great. They were great ring. They could take bumps. They knew how to get heat. But boy, the spur of the moment, those guys could come up with the funniest one-liners you could ever think of. And it's a special breed, you know. It's like Jerry Lawler is very funny, but week after week after week, 3 hours now. How can you be funny for 3 hours, 52 weeks a year?
Right.
It's just overexposure of that product. And again, you know, back in the day, they didn't have Raw, they didn't have SmackDown, they didn't have Superstars, they didn't have all these shows. And watch a show on WWE Superstars on a Saturday morning, and you see 60 minutes of these guys, and you might only see them for 5 minutes, and they could get, you know, they could get themselves over, or get their people over.
You know, I mean, talking about good managers too, and personality wise, you know, I got to throw in my girl Sensational Sherri as well, because I mean, how many people did she, you know, her career, you know, throughout her career, did she elevate? You know, Shawn Michaels, you know, I said Macho Man, you know, and she had the little feud with Elizabeth, and I mean, you know, that never really amounted to anything because Elizabeth wasn't a wrestler, but you still felt sympathy for her. And, you know, Sherri was able to do that without touching, like, really, like, you know, she never really physically did anything to Elizabeth. Elizabeth may have smacked Sherri or whatever, but, you know, it was great. And, you know, when I was in the beginning of my career, there was a girl that I was working with quite a bit, Samantha Rowe, who is now down in Texas with her husband. It's funny because she is not a wrestler. She was kind of, I was a Sensational Sherri. She was my Miss Elizabeth. I always had her beating the crap out of me after, you know, she got so much sympathy. You know what I mean? And I would never lay my hand on her. But people felt bad for her. They hated me. And when she finally got her hand on me and smacked me, or, you know, I taught her how to throw me into the ring post, like just the little subtle things. You know, not to take away from the match, but just enough to put me down and enough for her to get her, you know, her pop or whatever. Like, it was great. And, like, that really made, you know, some of the things that I did at that promotion where her and I worked at, you know, the matches add so much more to it. And there's a picture she posted recently. There was a War Games match with the guys, and the ring was, the cage was, like, 2 feet away from the ring. Well, I ended up locking her in the door, and I'm holding it closed because the lock didn't actually end up locking. So I have my back to the door, and she's in there. Like, now all I did was throw her in there, you know, and they felt so much sympathy for her. And, you know, the next time she got her hands on me, the place pretty much exploded just because she was getting her revenge of me locking her in a cage with six guys.
Wow.
And, I mean,
that's great.
Yeah, it's possible to have great managers. It's just a matter of, you know, using them to their advantage, you know, teaching them is pretty much important because, like I said, there's a lot of the valets thing. And like I said, you don't even necessarily have to bump. Like, this particular woman, Samantha, I don't even know if she still bumps nowadays, but she's, you know, she's a great manager down in Texas, you know, but she doesn't have to bump because she gets that sympathy because of whatever reason, whether, you know, she might not have another girl like me as a manager on the outside, but maybe the guy does something to intimidate her or something, but she gets that sympathy. And it's what, you know, the game's all about, you know, getting people to feel emotions.
I know people have wanted, like, Arn Anderson to be a manager for a long time. Of course, he works behind the scenes with WWE as well. I mean, there are those guys out there that they could do something with, but, you know, ultimately they've decided that managers are not important anymore, and they've gone in different directions. And that's sad, but that's the way we are in, you know, 2013.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of any managers in TNA, so.
Yeah, I can't either. I mean, Tracy Brooks used to be with Robert Roode and then Peyton Banks, better known as Rain. But, I mean, that was even short-lived. I mean, that wasn't even...
Sinister Minister was with Abyss for a while.
Yeah.
He's a great manager, too, James Mitchell. I don't know why, you know, it's too bad they can't find a place for that guy. He's a very talented guy.
Yeah,
you know?
He's another person that's very sweet. Like, I met him, and he has some great, funny, random stories to tell. If you ever meet him, ask him to tell you the story about, I don't even know if he'd remember this story, but when he told me, I just died laughing. He was on an airplane, and he had to put the staff that he walks around with up in the overhead compartment, and this little kid behind him kept kicking his seat the whole day, kicking, 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 and, you know, he asked, you know, please stop, and never did or whatever. So, like, when he goes to get off the plane, he didn't even stand up to open the overhead compartment. Somebody else did, and the cane dropped down and, like, hit the little boy in the head, and he just thought it was hilarious. But the way he told the story was great. It was like, that kid got what he deserved.
Yeah, he's a great personality. You know, before you were talking a little bit about going on the road and fast food joints, and it's tough to eat on the road, and I guess in general, what sort of routine do you do as far as fitness, eating, and staying in shape?
Well, my job definitely keeps most of my arms in shape because I work at UPS. So I'm lifting constantly all day long. Other than that, it's just basic stuff that I do at home. You know, I'll do, you know, things at home like weights, and I have a punching bag, which is one of my favorite things in the entire world. It's like, you know, come home from work and just be like, I just want to punch something, and then you punch a punching bag. It's great. You know, running and stuff like that. I do most of that just at home. You know, I like to go swimming and stuff like that to, you know, but, you know, it's Ohio, so I only get that a couple of months a year.
Do you have any good road stories or any big any times you've been ribbed or ribbed anybody?
I am not a big ribber, nor have I. I don't think I've ever really been ribbed, at least not, like, really good. Because if it was really good, I would remember it. But I do remember one time I was at a show, and this was a local show, and we were in this great, big, giant building. I don't even know what kind of building it was, but we were down in the basement for our locker room, and I don't know where this particular kid had been all day, because he had, I don't know if he was already wrestled or if whatever, but whatever the case was, they actually took duct tape and duct, and somebody had a ladder in this basement, and they duct taped his wrestling bag to the ceiling.
Oh,
and it was hilarious, because then they put the ladder away, so this poor kid was like, how the hell am I going to get my bag down? And, yeah, so that was pretty funny. I've never really, you know, seen a lot of, you know, ribs and stuff like that. I think that's more, you know, geared towards the guys. I mean, I'm sure there's probably a couple of women who have, you know, are pretty good ribbers, but none that I particularly know of.
At this point in your career, what do you think is your biggest strength, and what do you think is your biggest weakness?
That's another loaded question. I think my strength is... definitely getting emotions out of people. I think that I have the capability, you know, to make people hate me pretty easily. Like, I'm still working on, but like I said, I'm not a babyface that often. But I definitely can get, but it's harder as the Midwest militia, because everybody likes us because we just come in and, like, beat up people. It's really hard for people to get people to hate us, because they're like, yeah, she just gave me a dirty look. Like, all right. So that's kind of iffy. But everywhere else, I'm pretty well at, you know, getting people to not like me for whatever reason. And, you know, that's pretty cool. I would definitely, I don't think it's a weakness per se, because I think I'm, you know, pretty all right. My technical wrestling, I think I could use, you know, I could always be better. I think I'm all right. You know, I'm no Mercedes or Lufisto or anything like that, but, you know, or Madison Eagles or some of the other greats that can, you know, really get in there and grapple. But then again, you got to think Madison Eagles, you know, trains with, George St. Pierre or something like that from UFC. So, you know, she's really mat-based and really, you know, into the technical side of wrestling. But I think that would probably be my weakness.
And lastly, where do you see yourself in 5 years, and where would you like to be in 5 years?
Ooh, interesting question. Well, I would be in the business for 11 years at that time. So I would like to, you know, be a veteran to some of the younger girls who are coming in, maybe even do a little bit of training, you know, maybe even taking managers and teaching them how to be good managers. I mean, I seem to have done okay so far with the girls that I've helped out. I would love that. But I, you know, if WWE and TNA, you know, don't come knocking on my door, which I don't think they will because I'm not actively pursuing them. So I don't think that they'll actively pursue me. Yeah. I think that I would like to just be somebody that people can look up to and that, you know, people can say, oh, she's really helped me out in my career. I think that would be, you know, something that would be like the icing on my, you know, my whole career. Like, okay, you know, Stephanie's been everywhere, done, you know, a lot of different things, but she's really great in helping people and teaching people and stuff like that. I think that would be like a real honor, but I still want to be wrestling. I never, you know, I don't want to stop that. I mean, at some time, you know, I'll probably want to have a family of some sort, you know, at least that's in my, you know, my plans, maybe 5 years, maybe 10, who knows. But I want to be somebody that people can look up to for sure.
Well, I've enjoyed talking to you because I could talk to you forever. And, you know, we're talking about wrestling and the things we like and the things that we miss and the things that we, you know, currently like about wrestling. I mean, there's, you know, sometimes you focus on the negative, but certainly there's a lot of the positive that we do like, and we still follow it. And, you know, still big fans of wrestling. Obviously I cover it and you actually wrestle, and maybe someday we'll actually see you, you know, either in TNA or WWE or maybe back at Ring of Honor at some point, which we would love to see. And before we let you go, go ahead and plug. I know you're very big with social media. You're on Twitter and Facebook, and plug upcoming appearances and websites you'd like to plug.
All right. Well, next week, as I mentioned before, I'll be making my debut with NSPW in Quebec City, Quebec. If anybody lives up in the Great White North and would like to come out, that would be awesome. I am on night one of Excellence, which is Friday, August the 2nd. Then my next appearance after that is a big WSU show, the Uncensored Rumble. I don't yet know who my opponent's going to be, but you can guarantee that I will be there, and I will be probably in a very foul mood, as I usually am at WSU. And that's about it for the upcoming shows. I am a social media junkie. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/officialsassystuffy. I have all my dates up there. I have lots of dates coming up. September and October are big months already, and, you know, obviously we're not quite even into August yet, considering that starts next week. So Facebook, Twitter is Sassy Steffy, Instagram is Sassy Steffy, and pretty much if there's anything else, you can find it on one of those three things. I have a YouTube channel, but I haven't updated that in years. But, I mean, you can type in Sassy Steffy and find all sorts of fun stuff on there.
And if you follow her, don't get upset if she doesn't follow back, because as you see in social media, you get your list built up and you've got so many people following you and they want to follow back. But I know that you do a really good job keeping up with your fans through social media. You're obviously very visible on social media. You keep fans abreast of what's going on with you and in your personal life. And I think it's great that you interact with the fans that way. And obviously I can see why, you know, fans are fans of you and have built up such a good fan base. So, you know, keep up the good work there.
Well, thank you. I mean, I've been in a lot of situations, not necessarily wrestling-wise, but when I was a big concert goer, I mean, obviously time doesn't really allow me to go to a whole bunch of them now, but I used to go to concerts a lot of times, and there were bands that really turned me off because they were just rude and inconsiderate and not very nice. And, you know, that was in person. So I always try, even if I am a heel, like once I am out of the ring and, you know, I'm maybe selling, you know, my gimmicks, my T-shirts, my 8x10s, whatever, or, you know, or if you see me like walking out of the building or whatever, I'll usually, you know, say hi or whatever and, you know, try to talk to you for a minute if I have time. But, you know, sometimes that doesn't allow, especially if I'm driving or really if I'm flying, that makes it really hard too. Because, you know, you got to be certain places at certain times. But I always try to make time for anybody who wants, you know, to say something. If you email me and you just say hi, I mean, get to the point. If you want to say a question or ask me something, please just do that. Just don't, you know, I don't have time to go back and forth like, hi, what's up? How are you? Get kind of to the point. I get a lot of emails. I have actually 3 Facebook pages. One's full, one's my private, one for, you know, me and my, you know, like family and friends and stuff like that. And then I have the fan page, which is the official Sassy Steffi. So I have a lot going on. So try not to do the courtesy things. If you have a question or you need something or you want to know something, just, you know, do that. And I will get back to you as quickly as I possibly can. And, you know, like I said, I'm pretty friendly as far as that goes. Like I said, you know, everybody has bad days, but, you know, I don't want to be one of those people that people look at like, oh my God, she was such a witch.
Well, we do appreciate your time, Sassy Steffi. We got a chance to learn a little bit more about you, and we do appreciate it, and we wish you nothing but the best.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed our talking, too.